We're sure glad you're here today. Y'all are singing pretty and looking good. Been a nice day at Maywood Baptist Church, and we've got good friends on the front row, Joe and Diane Calhoun, and I'm going to ask Joe to come and lead us in prayer, if you would please, sir. Here you go. He's finding the Bible verse. I can see it now.
Bob has a tradition of doing this to me, so as we were praising the Lord, this voice or this verse is something that God wants me to verbalize to each of you. And it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to read verses 6 through 8. The heading for this is Generosity is Encouraged. Paul writes to the Corinthians with these words, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And I love this promise. He says, if we do that, if we give what we've decided to give in our heart, that he will do this. God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Lord God, let that be true for every person who hears these words. Lord God, let us know that you desire to bless us abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. In the name of Jesus, and everyone said, amen. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, sir.
Good morning. At some point in our lives, each of us has said something like, I'd like to join a small group with people who could help me connect with God. Or I'd even like to start reading my Bible with people who could help me understand it. But we're human, and we're really good at finding excuses for not doing those things. But the beginning of the year is the perfect time to start a new and rewarding habit for yourself. Sunday, January 4th, has been set aside for a time where you can come and sample all the classes that will be offered, meet the teachers that will be leading these classes. It'll be fun, there'll be food, and lots of great people to meet. We're calling it the ABFG Bible Crawl. Be sure you watch for a brochure with all the details for all the classes that will be offered. Bryce Young is here to tell us what being in a small group has meant to him.
Joining Bible study when I first attended Maywood was really, really important because there's only so much, not having God in my life for 28 years of my life, there was only so much I could understand when I started to read the Bible on my own, and sitting in a small group of people trying, you know, asking questions and reading the Bible together, it opened up a wealth of knowledge because there's different people who have been here for a while and have had God in their lives for a lot longer, but then there's people like me who are new, and we were able to learn from each other and ask the right questions. And I know from personal experience that there's going to be things said in a Bible study that will stick with you for the rest of your life. And the example that I have was when Charles said, you know, it's one thing when you give 98% of your life to God, but then you keep that other 2%, and that 98% versus 2% is something that's going to stick with me the rest of my life for sure. And it's because of going to Bible study and talking with other people that attend Maywood about God that I was able to experience that. So
don't miss it. Please come Sunday, January 4th at 9:45 at Maywood Baptist Church. You won't want to miss it.
Just in case this is your first time at Maywood, this is Josh Monk on the far end. He's one of our pastors. Dean, that's right. This is Dean Deason. He's one of our deacons and all-around great guys to church. We asked Dean to join us because he had an excellent haircut. And but he has more than that going for him, and we're going to be talking about that. Josh is going to be interviewing him. Joe, the Holy Spirit's always good. We always know that. And he lines you up to read a scripture verse that's actually right up here on the screen that we're going to take off from. So isn't that, God does that, doesn't he? We want to talk about God's grace. And we're going to talk about God's grace in Dean's life and how it has been shown, both given to him, but then given out from him. And then I'm going to come in at the end of the service and talk about how do we make sure we can receive God's grace. One of the things we do a lot in the church is we say, do this, you know, do this. But we also need to say to you, how can we do this? So I'm going to try to give you one step on the how-to, and Josh and Dean are going to give you a lot of the fire that will make you want to do it, okay? So let's look at a couple of verses. In 2 Corinthians 9:8, you all can read it with me. God is able to make all grace. Can I just stop for a moment? It is interesting to me when I read about grace to see how the Bible talks about grace. It talks about great grace. Grace is good enough. What in the world is great grace? It talks about grace upon grace, like you're standing at the seashore and there's one wave after another wave after another wave of grace. Wouldn't one be enough? But God seems to think there's more for us. He doesn't say here God is able to make some grace or a little bit of grace. He says all grace. Sometime take a moment and say, God, what does it mean for you to have all grace for me? And so what is grace? You all probably know one of the definitions, and that is undeserved favor. And that's a good one. God has favor for us, and we don't deserve it. But there's more than just God waving something nice over our lives. He does it very personal for us. God's grace is his personal involvement in our life. He comes to us, and that's grace. And it's every day. It's abundant. It's wave upon wave. It's all grace. All of that God has, he wants to give to us. And so he says, God is able to make all grace abound. That word abound is another big word. Abound is used when Jesus fed 5,000, and they started off with just a few loaves of bread and a couple of fish, and he multiplied it to feed 5,000 people. And then they had a whole lot of stuff to pick up. That's the very same word. He picked up an abundance. Well, God has an abundance of grace to fill our lives. So that we'll have what? So that we will always, having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. God comes to give us out of his resources personally in our life to meet every need of our lives. And the goal today of what we're doing is that you and I will open the door so God can do this in our lives. That's our goal. That's our purpose for meeting here today. And you will find out that it's for us, but it's also through us. And Dean's going to illustrate that. Let me read a couple more verses, and then I'm going to hand the mic and talking over to you guys. So verse 9 says, as it's written, they freely scattered the gifts of the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for the food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Joe read it the earlier verses, and basically is this: as we give, God gives to us. As God gives to us, we give, and it's good for all of us, all right? And so then he says, verse 11, you'll be enriched in every way. This is great to meditate on. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Okay, Josh, why don't you take it from here and do a little talking on that verse?
I'd love to. As I was reading this verse, there's a couple words that jumped out to me. And one of them is, the second word is service. I'm going to read this again real quick. This service that you perform, that's a service. It's saying that there's something that we do. That now the grace brings you here today. The grace is calling you when you're broken and you don't know Jesus. Grace calls you to Jesus. The continual grace called you here this morning. It's God's grace. You didn't have a good idea that you're going to come to church this morning. Didn't happen. God's grace draws you here. So, let's talk about this service that we perform. We don't perform this service to get saved. We also don't perform it to stay saved. We perform it because we are saved. Okay, let's unpack this a little bit and let's find out what this service is. And this service is a lot of things. I'm going to speak of two of the things, but first let me finish reading this. It's not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, not just that, but also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Let's talk about two of those things. Two of those things in my life are my time and my money. And I'll talk about the money here for a second. In this church is blessed, man, because we've got a lot of people that have been here for a lot of years. And they're so faithful. And they've given to this church their entire lives. They've given their money faithfully. What does it do? It keeps the doors open and the lights on and the coffee brewing for guys like me and guys like you. That when we walked in this church, it was open for guys to come in and meet Jesus and get a brand new life, man. That's what the money part does, man. When you give, there ain't nobody up here driving Corvettes, living in mansions. Your money goes back into the kingdom so that more people can meet Jesus. It's so important, man. There's a promise behind that anyway. The people that I have seen that are faithful in their giving, Jesus is faithful. And he says that he'll open up heaven and pour out a blessing that's so great you can't even handle it all. Let's switch gears and let's go to the time. The giving of your time. I want to talk to Dean here in a minute about the giving of his time. And what the service. Serving isn't really doing the things that you want to do, when you want to do it, why you want to do it, and how you want to do it. That's what you've been doing anyway. That's what got you where you're at now. Is I did what I wanted, when I wanted, how I wanted, why I wanted, which got me in the wreck that I was in anyway. That isn't what service is. Service is sometimes doing something that you don't really want to do. There you go. Yeah. Doing what you don't want to do sometimes. Yeah. Okay, well, I'm going to ask Dean a couple questions. This is like an interview, not like an interrogation. Okay, so some of you guys are laughing about that. Well, Dean, I got a couple questions for you, buddy. And let's talk about God's grace first. And how did you first come to understand what God's grace was?
I think I have to go back to when I got saved. I had some issues in my past life, and grown up as a young kid with three sisters that grew up in a broken home, and Dad was not a very nice person, and the grace that was bestowed upon me, that happened. I lost my mother at a young age to a difficult circumstance. 6 months later, I lost half-brother and was really probably at the last step before a drastic measure was taken. And as a matter of fact, I did try to do some things that weren't really cool. And my aunt introduced me to a friend who introduced me to my aunt's pastor, who came over one night and just asked me if I wanted to accept Jesus as his personal Lord and Savior. And I'll never forget my answer. It was, what do I have to lose? You know, and I had a lot to lose. There was a lot of grace extended there. As far as giving grace, I think two things that the Lord had me do after I became a Christian, and it was really kind of quick, was I had to go and confront my dad and to ask my dad to forgive me for the way that I felt towards him. And I don't know about you guys, but you know, when you go to a family member to ask for forgiveness, it's not the easiest thing to do. The easier grace that I was allowed and able to extend was to the guy who murdered my mom. And that was easier to, it was easier to forgive him than it was to forgive my dad. So that's, I think that's how grace played a huge role in my, has played a huge role in my life. And, you know, God continually, daily shows me grace at work and just in my life in general.
And we're still on, we're talking about time also. And, you know, Dean has done some pretty cool stuff. And here recently, he did some more pretty cool stuff. And so I'm going to give him a chance to talk about that. And I'll plug in, you know, I'll cut you off when I want to, but go ahead. I'm pretty good at that.
Well, I've had the opportunity to coach some girls basketball in the past, and Mike Beckler, Dave Williams, Bob Buckley. There's numerous people that I've helped coach with, and had the opportunity. Amanda asked me one time to come out and assist her and the other coach with their basketball team out in Lee Summit, and Kinley, Josh's daughter, plays on that basketball team. And, you know, Kinley is like a lot of the young kids in this church that I've gotten to know. They have so much love that they just share. Kinley, when I first knew her, she was kind of shy and stayed away from me for a little bit. But then after she got to know me, Josh would point to me down the hall. And, I mean, I would be, I don't know, about 30 yards away. And she would just take off running and just jump in my arms and give me a big old hug. And, I mean, I'm not even related to this gal, you know, but she just showed me so much love. So when Amanda asked me to come out and help and Josh also.
That was an answer to prayer, by the way, because Amanda's coaching basketball. And I'm praying like, like, Jesus, we need some help here.
It is really kind of funny because, but anyway, so I went and I helped Amanda and helped them set up some defense and stuff. And the next night, they mentioned that they had a basketball game and invited me to come. Well, I work outside for a living, and when I get home at night, if the weather's really bad, you know, there's just nights you just don't want to do anything. And I hadn't committed, but I was sitting there, and the longer I sat there, it was like, man, I got to go. So I went and got cleaned up, went up there. And Josh was there, and Amanda, and Kinley comes up, and of course she gives me a big old hug for showing up. And some of the other gals, young ladies that were there, came up, and we started talking. And so the game gets going. And, well, let me back up. Before the game started, I got to meet some folks that were related to Josh and got to interact with them. So the game starts, and Josh and I go down to the far end of the basketball court where there's like 20 empty seats. And we're sitting there, and we're watching Amanda and the other coach on the sidelines just sitting there, not saying a word to the girls.
Bad coach.
Yeah, not a bad coach, just inexperienced maybe and not very vocal. And, you know, guys are pretty vocal. So Josh and I are sitting over there, and we're hollering at the girls to do their thing, you know, to get back on defense to, and just to, you know, share the ball. And the guy that I was talking with earlier, he came down. His name was Gene, And we're sitting there and we're just carrying on and talking and just having a good old time.
Yeah, so here's what I see, right? I had to step away for a little bit, but when I came back in and I looked over and I see Dean, and he's sitting over here, and he's sitting here with this guy that's the other coach's, her dad. Well, I know this dude. We have a history together, and the dude's a total atheist. The dude, he just thinks it's hogwash, and that's okay. But old Dean, he's sitting there, and they're laughing, and they're cutting up, and they're having a good time. They're creating a relationship, man. This guy, and I'm looking at it, man, and I can see, and I'm just like, these guys are creating a relationship with each other. And it was good for me to see, because I know the guy. And then the other coach is Kinley's mom, and she wants to know, why is Josh Patterson, and why does Dean, and why is Amanda, why are these people so concerned about us? Why are your church people so, why are you guys so different, man? Like, why? I thought you guys were supposed to be judgmental. I thought you guys were supposed to be telling me all about Jesus and everything. And they're not. They're here sitting next to each other, and they're laughing, they're cutting up, and they're having a good time, man. And that's what it's about, guys. Hey, Dean, did you show up there to that game because you were bored at home and you didn't have nothing else going on in your life at all?
No, not really. Like I said, I was sitting at home, and, you know, I really felt the Lord moving me to go. And I didn't know why. You know, I just felt that I wanted to be there for Kinley for one thing, and I wanted to be there for the other girls that are on the basketball team. You know, the following Sunday, I wasn't able to be here. And I understand that you and Bob shared with Pam, you know, what transpired after I left. And, you know, I was humbled by that because, you know, God puts us in situations that we're unaware of at any given time that allows us to be a witness to people and keeps us from being religious, I guess is the word I want to say. Because after my wife came home and told me about the situation, you know, I started thinking, man, that's awesome. And what am I going to do? You know, next time I see Gene, what am I going to say? What am I going to do? I started bringing myself into the equation. And it was like, you know, Pam looked at me and she smiled. And it was kind of like God saying, whoa, back up. You know, you weren't involved in this to begin with. You know, let me do the talking. Let me do the work. You just go and do what, you know, what you do. And that's kind of what happened. And the next game that I went to, of course, he was the first person that I looked for outside of Kinley to see if he was there just to continue that relationship, because I want him to know that I'm there for a specific reason, and that is to support Amanda and Kinley and the basketball team. And whatever God does through that, you know, that's just icing on the cake.
Yeah, and I know that God tells us to do things. He tells us to do this stuff. It's for ourselves. There's a saying that I remember Bob, he always says it. He says, the giver actually becomes the receiver. Amen. Like, God tells you to do it for you. And so I'm going to ask Dean, after you do this stuff, how does it feel? I mean, what's the payoff for you?
Well, you know, I'm old, or getting older. And it, you know, sometimes it's, you know, you get set, you get tired. There's things that you don't want to do. But I will tell you this, that every time that the Lord has opened a door for me to participate, whether it was Bears Tomorrow or the Van Horn program or Fairmount or Kinley, when I go, I may be tired. But I will tell you this, that when I come home, I can't sleep. I am so excited and just filled with joy. And you can't buy that. You just can't buy it. It's got to be something that I do this because I don't know any, I really don't know any different. I just don't know any different. And the spirit man, when he moves you, you move, and you can be dog tired, but I'll tell you what, when you get done with it and you stop and think about it, man, the Lord is, he will just pump you up.
And I think that precedes the second part of the verse here that says, it's not only supplying the needs of the people, but the next part, it's overflowing with many expressions of thank you to God. Is when I looked at this thing, man, I've been praying for this family for 7 years. And I see Dean roll up, man, and he's creating a relationship with things. This is how God moves, in case you don't know. And I'm looking at God going, thank you, Jesus. You're setting up exactly what I've been praying about. Thank you, Jesus. That's the second part of the verse, and that's what it means. And there's a payoff in here. The first part is, I ask my class this a lot. I say, are any of you guys in here just totally financially set and you don't have everything, anything to worry about ever again? And no one ever raises their hand. Well, then if you're like me and you're not rich, well, then I have some words for you. Give. Give your money to the church because God has a promise behind it. God has a promise behind it. The people that I see do it faithfully, they ain't wanting for nothing, dude. And then the second part is this. Giving of your time, the giving of who you are. God knows that when you do this, you will be close to God. The giving of your time brings you closer to God. When you're walking close to God, whew, you're living life in this power. You're living life in this strength that's strange in this world. You're living life in this victory that only comes through a connection with God. When you're living that way and you're looking at your addictions and you're going, shoot, not a chance. When you're looking at stuff in this world and you're going, psh, not even close. When you're looking at the stuff the enemy throws at you and you're brushing it off like this because you're walking, and this is stuff you could never brush off before, but all of a sudden now it's nothing to you. When you're walking in this freaking strength, hey, the world is like, what does that dude got? And guess what happens? Other people are like, let me get what you got, homie. Hey, amen, Jesus. Hey. And that's what he's talking about. It's about this. That is what you get when you give your time. That is what you get, is the power. Bob.
Nice. Thank you. You know, the tough thing about this sermon is I'd like to tell the whole story, but you all would like to have lunch. And so I want to add just a smidgen in here. Did you all hear Dean say that he forgave his dad, and he also slipped in there, and he also forgave the person that murdered his mother? Did y'all get that? He used a phrase called get saved and receive Jesus. What happens? Those are church terms. I want to just spend a second on it. When you receive Jesus Christ, the true and living God literally puts his spirit in you. That's what's meant. There's a passage or two in the book of Ezekiel that I love. They're promises from God that Jesus fulfilled. God said, I will take out your stony heart, that hard, inflexible heart that's all about you. And he says, I will put my spirit in you and you will come to life. The only way that Dean could forgive his dad and then forgive the person that murdered his mother. And then year after year, and we've watched Dean, and it's a beautiful thing to watch. Year after year, more and more of that abundant grace, that wave upon wave upon God's of grace has come upon him. How does that happen? It happened because he first said, Lord Jesus Christ, forgive me of my sins and come into my life. He opened the door, and Jesus came in. And now he has opened the door not just to receiving from the Lord, but also to giving. I'm going to say this really fast because I have another point to my sermon. Back here is Bob Buckley. Bob and a guy from the school district and I sat down and had coffee one day with Jake Taylor. Jake's on vacation today. And we talked about starting basketball in Western Independence. We talked about Dean and Dave Williams, and they came and started. And we talked about Josh Patterson. And Dean handed it over. He loves to coach, but he handed it over to Josh, and Josh got Joey G beside him. Two of the better looking guys in church today. Fellas, nice job. So they have started the first basketball team at Fairmount Elementary, maybe ever, but at least in the last 30 years. And they had their team lined up here in church last Sunday. We had some folks who blessed one of their players who was going through some hard times this week with some Christmas, which was just off out of sight. And so Dean then goes over to lead some. Y'all see how it multiplies? It's wave upon wave. But where does it start? In your life today, if you've never asked Jesus to come into your life and to live in you, start. How do these guys become who they are? I went up to Richie Dobbs after the first service. I said, you know, some of you folks, if I'd met once upon a time, I'd been scared to death of you. And now I'm glad to give you a hug on Sunday morning. I whispered in Richie's ear. I said, you're one of those guys. You know, how does Richie become from a big, bad dude? How does he become a guy that a preacher wants to hug? Because Jesus took out one heart, gave him his spirit. You know, and that's what God does everywhere, not just for guys like Josh and Richie, but also for guys like Dean and Bob. He does that. Let it happen in your life today, okay? Now, how do you get those waves upon what? You got a comment or you just? No, I'm going to say, you do, you can have one. So I have a few props here today. Dean, will you hold my God's grace prop, please, sir?
Sure.
Thank you very much. So God has abundant grace to give to us, okay? But how do we receive his grace? Let me give you a snapshot of Bob Spradling. I've got to get a mic stand because I'm going to need to hold some things here. I'm glad y'all didn't hear that. I said, of course it would fall over. You know, God wants to put a lot of stuff in my life, but the truth is I am full of a lot of stuff. And he has to get beyond my stuff to give me the best gift of all. Okay? So what does he have to get beyond? I brought my date book. I told Joe. Joe, in 1987, taught me how to work my calendar. And one of the most best 2 days of my life was to learn from him how to do that. Besides learning that, I got a really good friend. My calendar rules my life. Josh talked about time, my time. God says, it's not your time, it's my time, okay? But I like to think it's my time, what I do with my time. And behind my calendar are obligations. I get a lot of my own personal self-worth by doing what I do that's recorded here on this calendar. A lot of stuff here, it fills up my hand. It's not just my calendar and my life and my time. I've also got a handy-dandy cell phone. And a few years ago, I didn't have a cell phone because they hadn't been invented yet. But this thing's important. Tony and I were at lunch yesterday. There were three people at the table. They were all three on their cell phone. What a great conversation. They were texting back and forth to each other, I'm sure. Or they were playing Candy Crush while they were waiting on their food. I don't know. But this is, my phone broke back a few months ago, I had to get a different one. And I was without a phone for about 2 or 3 days. I realized that fits in my hand. But that's not the only thing. You ready for this? My wallet fits here. And as long as I have money in my wallet and I can pay bills, I don't think much about it. But if the money gets short, this becomes very important in my hands, and it fits right there. But it's not just that. I've got my keys. I gave my keys to my wife because she's in my office, but I've got another set of keys. I've got things that I want to protect, and so they're mine. They're not yours. I can work with them. You can't work with them for the most part. Their house keys and things like that, okay? They're things that are mine. You all understand? Things that are mine. And God says, I'd like to give you that big gift over there, but you're full of your stuff and you don't have room for that grace yet, do you? And then, this is my computer bag. My grandson's probably praying with my computer right now in my office. But this is a big part of my life. I don't do much TV watching, but I do a lot of being on the computer, and some of it's for work, but some of it's for fun. And y'all see how my life is getting filled up? Where's God? Where's God? Y'all see that? We can do that. And then this is probably the biggest one. I don't know if you can read that on the back row, but if you can on the front row, it's true. I am always right. Now you, Scott Stoner's recording this for posterity. The pastor said, I'm always right. But the truth is, in my mind, I'm always right. Even when God comes to me and says, Bob, I want you to do this, I can't tell you the number of times I've said no. I'm going to do it my way. My hands are full, and maybe that's the biggest one. Every sin that I commit, I'm saying to God, I know more than you know. I don't trust you. I trust me. You don't know. You don't know how to throw a good party, God. I need to get one on my own. You don't know how to take care of this situation. I'll take care of it, and I'll ask you to bless me. And on and on. When you're talking to me and I'm smiling and nodding and you think I agree, I don't. I'm thinking in my own head, I'm right and you're wrong. You know, that's really transparent. Please don't use that on me in the future. And what does that do? It fills me up. My hands are full with my stuff. And so Dean wants to give me that box of God's grace, but I don't have room for his grace because I'm so full of the things that fill my life. Now, think about yourself. I had a young man, excuse me, let me put this stuff down. I had a young man in my office a couple of years ago. His dad had died. And I had never seen anybody more conflicted about the death of their loved one than this young man. The last time he saw his dad, he met him up here on Winter Road, and they stopped and they had a conversation in the middle of the street. And the son looked at him and he said, "You love drugs more than you love me." And his dad used a curse word that I won't even give you the initials for and drove off. And that was the last time he ever saw his dad alive. And I did the service right in here, and the son stood in front of a picture of his dad. And folks, he was full of emotion. Anger? Oh, he was angry. Hurt? He was full of hurt. Confusion? All sorts of confusion. Because his dad loved what he was addicted to, what was in his hands, more than he loved his own child. And God looks at us and he says, "Do you love what you're holding in your hands more than you love me? Do you love what you're holding on to and you think you've got to have more than you love me?" And here's what God asks you to do. And this is the only way I know to help you and help me. God says to you and God says to me, open up your hand. My plan is to take every one of those items that I have in the morning. They're mine. You have your own. And in the morning to say to God, "Lord, I give you my date book. What do you want to do with it? God, I give you my computer. How do you want me to watch? God, I give you my wallet. What do you want to do with my money? God, I give you my keys. What do you want to do with the things that I open and the things that I shut? God, I give you today that thing that runs through my head, I'm always right." That's the root, quite frankly. That's the root of all that other stuff. God, I give you this. I surrender it to you. By your grace, come and do something with it. Is there anybody in here who'd maybe want to do the same thing? We're going to have a group of people who are going to pray with you. We'll be down front. The worship team's going to come. We're going to do some singing. Dean, thank you so much. Man, he does. Yes.
I just want to say one more thing. I want to finish the story about my dad. When I went and asked my dad for forgiveness, we both wept. And it was one of the most amazing things that I've ever experienced in my life as a son.
Good.
And that created a relationship that I had for several years after that until he passed away. So I want you to know that when you extend grace to people, it's just remarkable.
Nice.
So.
Amen. Let's stand and pray. Thank you, Dean. Lord, thank you so much. Thank you for your grace and thank you for your love. Lord, I pray, please, today, spread your grace among us and do your work in our lives as only you can do it. Help us, Lord, to let go of the things that we're holding on to so tightly so that you have the freedom to give us something better than we ever dreamed. We ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen.